reminds me, theology is the only division of knowledge in the universe where a degree in it makes you stupider in it. Theology, yes. Official training. It actually, what? No, stupid is a sound word. It is. Well, Paul uses it in Romans chapter 1. I'm going to read it here in a second. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. Oh, the humans have strange ways of forcing us into what they think is a godlike program. I told you that theological seminaries turn people into Twinkies. It's a process. It turns you into a product. It does not turn you into a real live man or woman of God. So some you don't like that word stupid. All right, well, I'm going to read it here. I just happen to have this, my Bible open to Romans 1. This is my case against the religious systems of human beings. Not as God do people glorify or thank him. Romans 1 verse 21. Not as God do they glorify or thank him. The word God in the Greek is theos. It's placer, the one who places everything, the sovereign of the universe, but not as God. Not as the sovereign do they glorify or thank him, but vain were they made in their reasonings. Well, it just doesn't seem to me. I don't understand how God can be in control of every little thing. I don't understand how God can judge people whom he hardens. I just don't understand how he can juggle and manage every detail. Surely he doesn't care what I had for breakfast. Not as God do they glorify or thank him. How can you thank him for everything if you don't think he's in control of everything? You'd have to be a hypocrite, wouldn't you? I thank God for everything. How can you when you believe you have a free will and you're independent of his control? But rather, vain were they made in their reasonings, and darkened is their unintelligent heart. Darkened. That's a darkened heart that doesn't realize the deity of God. Alleging themselves to be wise, they are made stupid. Verse 22, there's the word stupid. It's a word that God tried 7 times in the furnace, found it sound, and put it in the Bible, inspired Paul to use it. Alleging themselves to be wise. Again, we find this in the realm of religion. They're alleging themselves to be wise. We're the people, and wisdom dies with us. We're the people. We know God. We know Jesus, just like the Pharisees. But they change the glory of their incorruptible God, verse 23. They change it into the likeness of an image of a corruptible human being. That's exactly what's happening here. We think God must be just like us. We can't control everything. He can't. We're scrambling to keep up with our problems. God's scrambling to keep up with our problems. That's changing the likeness of God into a corruptible human being. And that is stupid. And yet this is exactly what people are trained to think in the institutions of human religion. Why am I apologizing? I kind of got off on that. But again, we so often see these words, like these words stupid. And in 2 Timothy, we're reading about things that are profane. We're reading about irreverence. We read about the stupidity of the world. And we never apply this, or rarely, to a religious realm. That's where we're missing it. We're missing applying these words to the most heinous evil in the world, which is religion. All right. I was going to tell you how the word English word church is actually a form of the word circus. I'm not kidding you. Oh, wait a minute. First, you got to listen to Friday's show. I know I was one day behind last week, and I didn't get Friday's show out till Saturday, so you may not be looking for it. So this is really part two of Friday's show. And the title of Friday's show was Christianity, the Greatest Show on Earth. It wasn't a compliment. All right. Barnum and Bailey Circus is the greatest show on earth, which brings us back to Clyde Pilkington's book. Listen to this. Listen to what he says on page 78. Interestingly, think of the parallels between the religious systems church and Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. All right, this isn't a reach, because the actual word church, according to Smith's Bible Dictionary, is a form of the word circus. This is a very popular, well-known Christian dictionary, Smith's Bible Dictionary, originally published in 1884. It had this remarkable observation regarding the roots of the English word church. Now, we're not talking about the Greek word ecclesia. We know that when you study that word in context, it merely means an outcalled group of people. That's a sacred word. That's a holy word. That word is as holy as the word stupid, because God refined it 7 times and put it in his divine vocabulary. Isn't it great to have these words at your disposal? No, we're talking about the English word church and all the connotations that go with that. Now, this is from Smith's Bible Dictionary. The derivation of the word church is generally said to be from the Greek kuriakon, which is belonging to the Lord, but the derivation has been too hastily assumed. It is probably connected with kirk, K-I-R-K, which is Latin for circus, because the congregations were gathered in circles. That's right. Back in the old days, the Latin world, the congregations were gathered in the circle. See, Shakespeare doesn't have the market cornered on in the round. And so kirk is the root word for circus. Again, it just means circles. And you have the three-ring circus. Has to do with the ring. The people met in rings. And now we have a connection here from Smith's Bible Dictionary between a circus and a church. Clyde brings out these interesting analogies on page 78 of The Church in Ruins. They both are a form of entertainment. That's the key element. People feel good. People like the music. I especially find that the people like the music. You know what my opinion is of Christian music. You don't? Do you know my opinion of Christian music? No. Yeah, I don't like it at all. And you just know that when these people are singing these songs like, Jesus is great, he's almighty, he's wonderful, you know that they believe that human will can trump his will. The love of God surpasses everything. How can they say that when they at the same time believe in eternal torment? I can't get away from thinking that the people writing and performing these songs are hypocrites, unless they get in some kind of trance while they're singing the song that they change their doctrinal statements. I mean, this is the thing. Well, you could say, Martin, but the lyrics are there. Some of these great hymns, you know, they have great lyrics where if you just listen to the lyrics, you say that there's the truth, like, great is God, he's the savior of the world. How many, you know, Christians say this constantly, he's the savior of the world. They put it into song, they put it into poetry, and yet when you press them, they really don't believe it. They believe he's only the savior of a small percentage. So the words are right, but it's a whitewashed sepulcher. You can't be deceived by this. Jesus, again, warned us through his warning to the Pharisees of whitewashed sepulchers. It looks good on the outside. Inside, it's full of bones. Paul calls it, in 1 Corinthians 15, 1, 3, and 4, believing feignedly. It's feigned. It's a feint. It's a fake. Like a Hollywood wall. It looks like a Western town. We have a real Western town here, Martin. You blow it down, the whole wall comes down. It's not really a Western town, is it? It's a wall with a couple 2x4s behind it. Likewise, these songs are Hollywood walls. You blow them down and there's nothing behind it. It's full of the bones of the dead. So entertainment is primary, and including music and the bands and the drums and the guitars. And people like the music, all right? They both have a stage. That's true. That's true. There's a stage at the circus and there's a stage at the church. The performer is the pastor and the choir, and basically it's an entertainment show. They should have a curtain like at the Tonight Show, a curtain that opens up to the stage show. I think the circus music should be transferred to the church. I think that'd be perfect. Then you'd have a clearer understanding of it. You know, like, I prefer that. I think that should be the altar call music. Whenever you hear this, give people bags of peanuts and send them down to the altar. Three, they both have skilled performers. That's right. I talked to you Friday about pastors are highly trained to evoke emotion from people. They're highly trained to detect the high point of a talk, to get people to tears and get them at the altar at the right time so they can put another notch on their belt that they saved another person. They both have a ringmaster. That's right. The great circus ringmaster. Ladies and gentlemen. That's right. It's a 3-ring circus. And they both have a paying audience. Boy, all those things are paying audience. Yeah. How many people have I talked to that belong to the worldwide Church of God who have paid so much money? The tithe, the double tithe. And I heard, who's that comedian? What's his name? George Carlin. He says, you know, God must be broke all the time because he's always asking for money. Well, it's not him. It's his so-called ministers and pastors asking for money. And they don't need it for the furtherance of the truth. They need it to just afford their air conditioning bill for their giant building and to afford their carpeting and to afford better pews.
Ladies and gentlemen, please direct your attention to the center ring, where Pastor Bob will attempt to teach that God is in complete control of the universe, even while 8 billion human beings simultaneously have a free will.
Colossians 2:20, if then you die together with Christ from the elements of the world, why, as living in the world, are you subject to decrees? You should not be touching, nor yet tasting, nor yet coming into contact. All these things are for corruption from use in accord with the directions and teachings of humans, which are having an expression of wisdom. You know what that word is in the King James? A show. All these things, these religious activities that say, do not touch, become an ascetic, become a holy person by denying yourself the simple pleasures of life. All these things have a show. It's a show. It's an expression of wisdom in this willful ritual, humility, asceticism. But Paul says in verse 23 of Colossians 2, it is not of any value toward curbing the flesh. In fact, all this show, all this pomp, all this ceremony, all these good, emotional, soulish feelings only pamper the flesh. They pamper the flesh. And don't think that religious flesh is any less flesh than worldly flesh. There are the religious people, there are the worldly people. Outside of those two categories are believers. And I thank God that you are a believer. God has called us to believe in the simple gospel of the completeness of the cross of Jesus Christ.